There you go. Everybody, there you go. Okay. I was talking there. The salt wasn't registering. Good afternoon. Hope everybody's having a good day so far today, getting ready for the holidays. I know a lot of people traveling. I'm going to have a quick meeting here. We're going to go through a couple of small things, things that you have heard before, but things that I want to reiterate a little bit about what is happening and where we are. So let me just start by saying, first of all, I am incredibly thankful, as I am every time this time of year, for all of you and all of our partners. We're so grateful for our partners that have done so much for us. You have done far more for us than we have done for you, and I am so grateful, and I just thank you because you're just faithful in what you do, and I get so excited when I talk to partners that have been partners for 5 and 6 and 10 years. I have a partner that's been a partner since I started the partnerships. I have no idea when that was. I don't know what year that was, but it was a long time. It was more than 15 years ago. And it was interesting because I had this vision or this dream of having this ministry be monetized, self-sufficient, so that we wouldn't have to be on the air begging for money all the time. And here we are in February. It's going to be 25 years of ministry. And, you know, it's just absolutely amazing to me that it's been 25 years. And in 25 years, we've never sent out more than 2 letters asking for money. And both times it was when we were building studios. We are in the process of adding on to the studio we have. We're not moving, but adding additional space. We've had the additional space, but starting to build it out because we need it. And we're not asking for money for that. But when we built this studio, we asked. And when we built the studio we had before this, we asked. And that's it. So we've been blessed. I don't send out emails and letters constantly. People say, don't put me on your list. We don't have a list. So you're not going to get inundated with mail. And we've been able to do that. I hope we can consistently do that. We'll see. But the Lord, I have been very adamant about leaning upon the Lord and trusting the Lord for all that we have and all that he has given us. And I try not to show my lack of faith sometimes and, you know, know what's he going to do. I did that in 2009, I panicked. And I thought we were going to have a really rough year. And at the end of the year, I took a withdrawal from my 401k or my IRA and made a contribution with it. And here I, you know, found out a month and a half later that it was totally unnecessary because God provided. But it was my one weak moment of lack of faith and some fear. But God has been good, and we continue. We had a great year last year. Our year ends September 30th. I am concerned about this year, this fiscal year, because we're so dependent upon year-end giving. And as I said on the air yesterday and today, our year is made, like everybody's year in ministry, is made in October, November, December. That's they're the big months that is powerful months for every ministry. And so for a lot of ministries, that's the end of their year. For us, it's the beginning of our year. October is the first month of our new fiscal year. And so this year is probably not going to, it's going to be very iffy to see what happens this year. But God will provide. I know it'll work out. And that's why I've asked a couple times for some help. So we'll see. But there's still a month, a little more than a month left in the year, and hopefully it'll be great. All right. So happy Thanksgiving. If I rush off and I forget to do that, I will just say one other thing about our website. It is coming along. I'm holding it up right now for a couple reasons. Nothing to do with what you will see, but things that are happening for me for my back office. So it's holding up the progress on releasing the new version of the asset allocation model and some of the other benefits that you'll see. So I'm really excited about it. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks that'll be done, maybe even next week. See what I can get done over the weekend. Some of the things that I'm going to be changing is the asset allocation models, and that's going to change when the dust settles. So you're going to see changes after the election is officially over, it's done, and we know where we are. And at that point, there's going to be some changes made to the asset allocation model. When I make those changes to the asset allocation models, I will send you out an alert to let you know, hey, check your asset allocation models. If there are groups that I did not change at all, so maybe I say the group from 20 to 35, I decide not to change that, I will say, asset allocation models all have slight changes except for this model. So you don't have to waste a lot of time looking. So that'll come out. You'll get alerted to that, so you don't have to constantly be looking at it. Also, I want to remind you, if some of you go do our Bible study, it is tomorrow morning, not Friday morning. So I just give you a heads up about that. I sent you out an email on that already. I'll send out another one tonight, but it's tomorrow morning, not Friday morning. Also, the phone number and the information for the Bible study is on the resources tab on the website now. So you can tell somebody, refer them there to it. If you're not a partner and you want the phone, or I'm sorry, not a partner. If you're not a part of the Bible study and you want to be, you can see how you do that on that resource tab. Okay, so here's what I want to emphasize. One is that I want us to continue to relax, not be too concerned. This is a very different situation. I was talking about it a little bit with Shanna today off air. And I was saying, during the election of the last election, I had a model all set and ready to go. And it was going to be somewhat of a sense of urgency about making some changes if Hillary Clinton got elected. But I was all ready for that. I am ready to, if a Biden gets in the White House, I am ready with my thoughts and buy list and different things like that. The difference is there's not going to be any real sense of urgency like we had. There's no need to really have a sense of urgency. I think it's important that you all understand that. Because I don't want you to panic when we know that President Biden, there's going to be a President Biden. We're going to have time. Now, we're not going to have a lot of time. We're not going to have an indefinite period of time. But I would suspect that any changes that I want to make in our strategy are going to be made by February if there is a Biden presidency. For that matter, if there is a continuation of the Trump presidency, there's going to be some changes as well. But again, none of them are going to have a sense of urgency. So if there's not going to be a sense of urgency, then we certainly don't need to have a sense of urgency now. So for those of you who are concerned, thinking about what to do, and what am I going to do, I've got to, look, there's no sense of urgency. And I think we've got to be careful. But I want to explain, and I've kind of alluded to this a couple times on the air, so I want to just say this to you because it's not something that I've talked a lot about on the air, and I've never talked about at one of the conference calls, and that is inflation. And I'm going to go so far as to say a potential of hyperinflation. And I am a little bit concerned about that. I apologize for the banging. I got to live with it because we're having work done on the outside and of the office here, and they're out there banging. So I apologize. And not to mention, the dog is in my office. So she may bark at any moment. So, look, we are already seeing signs, early signs of inflation. What are the early signs of inflation? Well, the first thing that I watch are the commodities. And not just the grain commodities, that's a very important part. I first start looking at some specific things. I look at sugar. I look at coffee. I look at rubber. I look at I don't want to say precious metals, but I'm looking at platinum. I'm looking at copper, zinc. Some aluminum now. Normally I wouldn't, but I am now. And I'm looking at those things. Then I look to the grains. And we are seeing some inflation coming in almost to all those areas, not every one, but almost all of them. Certainly the ag commodities, grains, as a whole, for the last 6 months, we've seen some inflation starting. It has been accelerated a bit in the last 3 weeks. And so I'm watching that very closely. Housing prices have moved faster as of today than they have in a very, very long time. And that is inflationary, and that is a cause for some concern. On top of that, the Federal Reserve has decided that they are going to allow some inflation. As a matter of fact, if you read all their minutes carefully, it looks as though they are going to allow they're not going to be concerned about the 2% inflation. They understand that it might go above that. Sounds a little bit to me like they might welcome that. And they're going to let it find its own equilibrium there and let it run. My concern about that is that that's a very, very difficult thing to control. And I am hoping that the Federal Reserve does not have, and I don't believe they do, the same arrogant thoughts that Ben Bernanke had. He took a very kind of arrogant approach, thinking that he was all powerful and that he was going to be able to control inflation. He admitted that, said that. I don't think Jerome Powell feels that way, but they are going to let inflation run. My concern is that it could get a little out of control and start to run a little faster and a little bit harder than anybody anticipated. So it's interesting. The left is, in my opinion, economically inept. I think the left has been economically inept as long as I can remember. The only reason Bill Clinton wasn't economically inept was because Newt Gingrich was very economically astute. And the House of Representatives was a little bit more economically astute. And Bill Clinton took his cues and his lead from the Speaker, Newt Gingrich, And he had little options, to be honest with you. He didn't have much choice because nothing in government would have gotten done. So we've got some serious concerns about the value of the dollar. That, by the way, as the left media, as the party-run media, has been touting the benefits of a Biden presidency, what they seem to be missing some major components. So at the same time they're touting that, commodity prices are going up, and the dollar, the value of the dollar continues to go down. We haven't seen any kind of devaluation in the dollar since the first 4 years of Obama. I'll say the first 6 years of Obama. And it is a bigger concern than normal because nobody seems to be in recognition of it or seems to be concerned about it, and a little bit complacent. The devaluation of the dollar and the commodity prices going up is a deadly combination. And here's why I say that. Commodity prices aren't going up because of a devaluing dollar. That has always led to inflation over past inflationary times. This is different. The devaluation of the dollar has just started. The inflation started some time ago in commodities and other things. And that is a concern because a prolonged period, and I'm not saying we haven't had that, I'm not saying we're going to, but a prolonged period of devaluation of the dollar is going to exacerbate what has already started. It's not going to start what hasn't started. It's going to exacerbate what's already started. That is not a good place to be. And in the days of Jimmy Carter, we had commodity prices go up first and then inflation and then devaluation of the dollar. That was bad enough. This could end up being as bad. We do have much different checks and balances in the financial system and in our monetary system now. I think we have the best Federal Reserve chairman we could have. I may change my mind on that in 3 years, but I think that we'll probably be okay. Now, you know, we can't have growth without some inflation. We got to have a little bit of inflation. I'm not worried about inflation. I'm not worried about 2% inflation. I'm not worried about 3% inflation. I don't know that I'm worried about some sort of normalized 4% inflation. But listen to this. Suppose we get 3.5% inflation. That's nothing. But suppose we get 3.5% inflation and we have $25 trillion worth of debt. At 3.5 to 4%, we're going to be paying $8 trillion to service that debt. That's what it's going to cost us to service the debt. That means we're going to be adding $1 trillion of debt because of interest onto our $1 trillion, or $20 trillion of debt, or $25 trillion. I believe it's going to be $30 trillion if Biden gets in very short order. So we're going to get into a very inflationary and a very difficult time because just organically, not without Federal Reserve interference, the dollar has to drop in value. Now, before you panic, we have had so many periods of devaluating dollar that nobody ever talks about. For instance, 2 years ago, nobody cared about the dollar dropping. A year ago, nobody cared about the dollar devaluating. It was irrelevant because the economy had so much strength. It became no problem. If we have devaluating dollar, commodity prices already rising, and we have a no growth environment, no GDP growth environment, now we've got to pay attention. Because that changes everything. That's a whole different world if that happens. And so it's going to bring in inflation. Well, do I care about the inflation coming in? No. If we get inflation that comes in at 3% or even as high as 4%, maybe 4.5%, not the end of the world. Inflation, I would say we could go to 6%, 7%. It wouldn't be pretty, and it would really be hard on our national debt, but at the same time, it wouldn't be hyperinflation. I'm worried about double-digit inflation, if that's going to happen. And we're going to get a lot of leeway to see if that happens. So, and we will have bigger cash positions. The difference in those cash positions is that we'll be able to get 4% on CD rate. So I have a place to park it. Hyperinflation could even be worse. But the balance is, and the struggle is, and what I'm going to be struggling with, is are we going to be able to get out of the markets? And I don't mean totally. I mean, get to a 30-35% cash position. I don't know that. It could happen overnight, but I doubt it. I think it's going to gradually happen. And I believe that we're going to be able to see it coming. So inflation now has entered into some of my analytics a concern. I'm not worried about this reset that you're all hearing about. I'm not worried about that. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm not jumping on to that conspiracy theory wagon because I don't have gold to sell or newsletters or books to sell to try to scare everybody. To buy my stuff. So I'm not really that concerned about it. But I might. I'm saying now it has entered into my realm of possibility of hyperinflation. So I'm thinking about that. The key thing is right now that we stay invested. We don't get out. We continue to build our portfolio where we can. We continue to do that. And we start to look for dips to buy. Now, there may, when things get bad, we will add to the cash position. Cash position is obviously going to be a little higher. Now, let me talk real frankly about a Biden presidency. I said well before the election, when I was begging people to make sure they vote, I said if the far left gets an office, and I guess I'm talking more about Kamala Harris because she will be the president by June, if they get an office, and if they get away with all the corruption in the voting system, if they get away with it, we are never going to see a Republican-controlled House of Representatives, a Republican-controlled Senate, or a Republican president. We're not going to ever see it. And we need to understand that the only possibility of us ever seeing anything like that is only going to be as a result of a major change in what we believe about the Constitution of the United States. In other words, if we get to a place, and I believe that we will get to this place, when we get to a place where the government is not doing what we the people expect them to do, and that what they are compelled to do for the well-being of the American people, if we get to that place where there is injustice, no more domestic tranquility, no more provision for the common defense, no more promotion for the general welfare, and to work to secure the blessings of liberty, then we, according to the United States Constitution, have a right to overthrow the government. I don't believe that the people of the United States of America will ever have the will to do that. Not the will to wish it would happen, but the will to do that. Maybe the better word is guts to do that. I believe that the majority of the American people will roll over and take it. I've never wished to be wrong more about anything than I am about that. Now, it won't be for the lack of me trying to organize it or somebody else trying to organize it and to get it done. It won't be for that. It'll just be lack of will or desire to get it done. So that's where we could end up being. If we get to that place, then our money is going to be meaningless. It's not going to have any impact, or we're not going to care about our money. We're going to be caring about surviving. So I think it's going to be a very difficult time, but I do believe that we will lose our country for certain. I really do. Now, I also know that God is on the throne, and I am praying that this is so that God will expose the corruption of a party and begin to bring America back to its roots. I hope that's what this is. I pray that's what this is, for sure. I truly, truly hope that's what this is. But it also may be the wrath of God on an unrighteous land, the wrath of God on an unrighteous people, the giving of the desires of their hearts and allowing them to have what their itching ears want to hear, And it could be the darkness of this world being allowed its dominion as God prepares for the call, the sound of the trumpet for all of us. It could be. We don't know. So we have to plan as if it's not going to be. We have to look at what could happen. And in that environment of a Marxist regime, remember what Marxism really is. Marxism, people say, wow, man, we get that. The government's going to own everything. No, that's not what, you know, Marxism is. Marxism is not the government owning everything. It's the government controlling everything. It is two very different things, but, you know, both have a very scary outcome. So if the government controls everything, they don't have to own it because they control it. They will regulate it the way they see fit. And, you know, it's almost the same difference. And if we are moving towards that regime, there's not going to be a plan. There's going to be hyperinflation. There's going to be massive unemployment. But there's a big difference between massive unemployment and massive unemployment that is now going to be a permanent situation. It is going to be the loss of opportunity to have jobs. It's not going to be the loss of a job waiting for the economy to turn back around. It's not going to be like that. That's not what a far left government is going to give it. I believe that even now, if a Biden gets in there, I believe that Republicans could easily gain control of the House of Representatives, because I gotta believe, this is my naive thinking about the human mind and heart, I have to believe there's at least six congressmen that are Democrats that are going to say, I can't do this, and they're going to change their party affiliation and caucus with Republicans. I got to believe that would be the case. I wouldn't be surprised if it's more. Look at Dianne Feinstein. She drops from the defense, from her committee chair. She's resigned from it. It's not because she's old and she can't do it anymore. She's a centrist. She can't believe where the party is going. She doesn't want to be a part of it. She just wants to finish her time. And there's got to be some even young members of Congress that will have a better understanding of exactly what they have done and what the party has done and not want any parts of it. That's my maybe wishful thinking or my naive perception of the human heart and mind. We'll see. That would help. That would say if we win, keep the majority in the Senate, we will be safe. We will be safe. But we're only going to be safe for a temporary period of time. Because do you know how good and what they've learned from this corruption of the election that they have taken? Do you know what they've learned? Do you know how hard it's going to be for anybody to detect it next time? We're done. Republicans are never going to win another election. So the Senate will flip probably in 2 years if that happens. So the Senate is our firewall. It is our buttress. It is a thing that is keeping the left from penetrating and changing. It is probably more important than anything else. And we've got George Soros and Bloomberg dumping in $300 million into making sure it doesn't go that way. What do we do about that? Well, we're not countering it very well. So it is critically important. Georgia, the most important state in our country right now, without a doubt. Because if we lose the Senate, it's all going to happen very, very fast and very quickly. And even if the election is never rigged again, the courts are going to be loaded. They will load the court. And there is nothing we can do about it because we won't be able to stop it. And they will count strictly on their agenda being accomplished by legislating from the bench. And it'll be the end of America. And, you know, I'm just painting the picture for what it is. So my strategies are this moving forward. Don't do anything. Do not get out of the market. You could be very sorry if you do that. You won't be sorry if you stay in the market because you'll get out in time. I'm not saying there couldn't be a dramatic downturn today. We could see the markets drop 500 points at any given. And if it does that, it's okay. Because if it takes a drop like that, it's probably going to come right back up. So you got to stay in. Maintain your cash position. Don't use it. You've increased your cash position, right? Remember? You're a partner. You got the alert. You increase your cash position. Do you remember that? So if you increase your cash position is strong, then you're okay. If you're a new partner, you don't have to worry about it because I've been telling people, don't put new money. Don't go to work. Don't put that money in there. Hold off. Let's let the dust settle. Let's let time go by. We've waited this long. Let's wait a little bit longer. So you're okay. So don't do anything that is going to dramatically impact your portfolios one way or another. It doesn't matter. There's no sense of urgency. If we have a January 20th inauguration of Joe Biden, then we've got January 21st and 2nd and all the rest of the month of January and probably the month of February to make changes and moves. I don't plan on sleeping much after that, if that's the case, during that month. So sit tight. Don't make any changes. I hope by now that we have taken great joy and less stress in knowing that regardless of the unrighteousness of the country, regardless of the unrighteousness of men, regardless of what God's wrath might look like upon the unrighteousness of the land and the people, regardless of that, you and I are people that are honoring God. You and I are people that are honoring God. We have taken, we have given of our first fruits. We have taken the balance of the money that he has given us and entrusted to us for stewardship. And we're not investing in abortion. We're not investing in all those things that grieve the heart of God. We are not going to invest in those movements that are trying to redefine God's word. We're not blessing any of that. We're not going to invest in any of that. God is going to bless us, keep us, and hold us in his grip. I'm not over-spiritualizing it at all. I am simply saying what he's already said to us in his word. We have no fear if we are sincere. We have no fear if we are sincere in the way that we are leaning upon the Lord. Don't lean upon me, except you know that I am leaning upon God for guidance. The Bible tells us to seek godly wisdom. I'm the last person in the world to call a wretch like me godly, but I can tell you this. What I say, well, not always what I say, what I believe, what I do, and how I do analytics, what God exposes to me, and what I come up with, and some of the things that I do commentary on, is of God. It's not of me. It's of God. And I don't know why, but I can't even begin to tell you how much I realize that it's impossible for me, because I know my abilities, I know my intellect or lack thereof. I know that some of the things that I've thought about and done and moved did not come from me. Smart enough to realize that. So I'm going to ask you to take the godly counsel that Proverbs calls us to take, to rest in it. And, you know, I was preparing for a Bible study last week, and we have started the very beginnings of 1 Peter. I digressed last week for a good reason. And because of Thanksgiving, I'm digressing again, unfortunately. But the part I was reading to prepare for in the latter verses of chapter 1, in the 10 verses I was going to speak on 6 times, he talked about the worthlessness of gold, silver, or precious metals. He doesn't say it in those words. They talked about gold specifically, that we would put our trust in those things. Not to do that. It's worthless. Why is it, and how could it be, that all through the New Testament in particular, but even in the Old Testament, God is reminding us of the things that have value? And guess what? Our money's not one of them. Our riches aren't one of them. Our wealth is, because our wealth is our livelihood, our abilities to work, our love for our spouse or our children or our family, the blessings of health, the ministry that we've gained from unhealth, not being healthy, the work that we've been able to do for the Lord. See, that's our value. That's our wealth. And so many of you have gotten to that place. And I'm asking you not to lose your place. Just relax and stay calm. So I pray that I can be a calming force. I pray that I can continue to have focus and see what God would allow me to see. So I ask you that you would pray for me, that God would continue to give me and make me, as he finds me worthy, what little bit he finds me worthy of, as a son of Issachar, that he might give me understanding of times, not for me, for you, so that I might relay that to his people, to his children. Listen, I don't know a lot about the nature of God and the character of God, just what I've studied and tried to understand and try to learn. I know little. I'll never live long enough to know very much, but I'll trust and I'll know it all when I get to glory. But I do know this. There's no father that would want their children to starve, suffer, or hurt. And I think in our Father in heaven, as long as we continue to do the best job we can to honor him and not grieve his heart, he is very, very pleased by that. So we just got to be patient, calm, and not worry. I'll worry about the inflation. I'll worry about the hyperinflation. I will worry about the Federal Reserve. I will worry about the markets and what they're going to do and how they're going to react. I'm going to worry about the corruption of the election. We can all pray for that, but allow me to worry about it for you. And trust me that I will relay to you as I see things. I will promise you that I will always give you the logic behind what I'm doing, because I believe that all of you can think logically, I hope, through certain things. You've heard me say that about people. I got to save gold, put all my money in gold, the sky is falling. It's not logical. It's not a logical conclusion. You can't come up with a logical conclusion that gold is going to save you, even if you are putting all your faith, trust, and hope in that gold. And you are saying, yeah, but I'll be able to buy some groceries. Will you? Will you? So let's relax, be grateful for what we have. Let's give thanks this Thanksgiving. Let's continue to worship and praise God and continue to do that as well. Tomorrow, I'm going to talk about that tomorrow morning. I can't wait for our study tomorrow morning. And we're going to talk about that. But these are hard times. These are the hardest times I've ever had to deal with any of this stuff and think about it. I've never had a more difficult time than this. It's very, very stressful and difficult. I don't like not having more. It's not having answers. I don't have a problem not having answers. But I don't have enough information to develop answers. I don't know if that makes sense. But I just don't. It's unavailable because there's too many uncertainties. And I don't have enough certainties to make really good calls, decisions, and help in a better way in my analytics. And it's a very frustrating place to be when you're highly dependent upon having enough information that you can formulate strategies and opinion. And it's not out there. It's one thing to say, all the information's out there, I'm too lazy to do it, or do the analytics or look at it. I'm too lazy to pray through it and see what God might lay on my heart. That's one thing. Then that's all on me. But there's nothing out there. And I can't even begin to tell you how frustrating it is. The only thing out there is uncertainty, and I'm sure of where the uncertainty is. So I'll tell you what we're doing at the ministry. We're moving forward. We're going to keep plugging along. We're going to keep doing the things that honor God and continue on with the projects he's given us to do. And you need to do the same, and we'll figure out the money aspect of it here in short order, I hope and pray. So let's have a wonderful long weekend. I know I'm going to. And I sure appreciate all of you. Thank you for all that you do. And I just pray God shines his face upon all of you, that he gives you peace with health and good news. I pray that he lifts his countenance to again shine upon all of you. I thank you, Lord, for all that you give us. I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for the blessings of this day and tomorrow. And Father, we pray the Supreme Court would be convicted in a way they've never been. 9 justices, 5 of them, maybe 6 of them, 5 of them for sure, maybe not knowing the Lord, knowing you like they should. Give them a conviction about doing the right thing and give them the wonder of where it comes from to draw the conclusion that it must be of God. I pray your blessing on all the courts, all the judges, as we deal with this corruption that you've exposed. We pray your continued exposing of this. We pray for a party, a Republican Party, to stand firm and steadfast and strong, to be bold and perceptive, to be definitive in what they do and where they go. Father, we pray this in your precious and holy name. And it's in Jesus' name we go and ask your blessing. God bless all of you. Thank you so much. And we'll talk to you soon. See you tomorrow.